Good morning. How is everyone doing? That's good. Seem like you're awake today, ready to worship God as we continue to worship. A worship doesn't stop once we stop singing. It continues as we open up the Word and we continue to worship as God speaks to us through His Word. And hopefully you realize that. If you have your Bibles, take them out to Psalm 27. And inside of the bullet, there's an outline to follow along as we continue to worship the Lord. We've been in this series called Psalm Responses. And what Psalm Responses is about that through every circumstance we go through life, there's a proper response. And the Psalms gives us that proper response that we're to have before God. We have 150 of them, and God says, whatever circumstance you are going in and through your life, there's a proper response. You need to read the Psalms, and He gives us that. And today we're going to be talking about when waiting, and I want to talk to you about the proper response as we're waiting. Am I the only one that struggles with waiting? Does everyone struggle with waiting? I talk about waiting a lot, it seems like, often, because it's just a way of life. We have to wait for things, and it's a part of life, and it's difficult to wait. And maybe waiting for that right person to begin your life with in marriage, and you're waiting. God, when are you going to send that man or woman to me so I can marry that right person? Or maybe you're waiting as a married couple, and you're waiting for the right time for God to bless you with after you prayed a thousand times, and you prayed and prayed for that baby to come, and you're waiting. Maybe you're waiting for that right job to come into your life, and you're waiting, you've been praying, God, when is it going to happen? Or you're praying that your boss would recognize that the work that you've been doing, you get that promotion that you so much deserve. Are you waiting for that check to come in the mail so you can pay that past due bill? Are you waiting for that loved one to come back to the Lord who's walked away so many years ago? Are you waiting for that loved one to come to the Lord who doesn't know Jesus Christ, their Savior, and they come accept Christ? Are you waiting for that medical report test to come back and you're waiting? What is it going to say? What's the prognosis? What is it going to say? Waiting can be very difficult in our life, and it's a very difficult thing to do. You heard of the guy say, God, who prayed to the Lord, Lord, give me patience, but I need it now. We all need patience. We all need that. And I want to talk to you about a passage of scripture this morning that will help you while you're waiting. In Psalm 27, it's a psalm that David wrote. And if anybody knows about waiting, it is David. You remember the story where King Saul was the first king of Israel, and he had walked away from God. And so God took his hand off his life and his ministry. And so God told Samuel the prophet, he commissioned him to go to the house of Jesse. He said, I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and I want you to anoint the new king that will come after King Saul. It's in the house of Jesse. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house. He says, I'm here today to choose one of your sons as the king of Israel, the next king of Israel. Can you imagine what was going through that father's heart and mind? It had to be a blessing. One of my sons is going to be the king. So he says, I want you to bring in your sons. I want to see all your sons. So you can imagine the father lines up his sons according to which one he thought that Samuel would pick or God would pick to be the next king. So he brings in one son, and he says, no, that's not the one, Samuel says. He brings in another son. No, that's not the one. Another son, no. Until he brings in all of his sons that were there, and he says, Jesse, do you have any more sons? He goes, well, yeah, I have one more son who's out in the field. He's just a kid, and he's watching the sheep. He says, you need to go get him and bring him in. And then when he finally comes in, Samuel was able to say to David, you're going to be the next king of Israel. God says, that's my man. That's the one I've chosen. He's the next king. And you think that, wow, what fortunate. You know you have a good day when God says, you're the one. You're the one that I've chosen to lead. You're the one that's going to do this. You know if you had a good day. But after David heard this, after David heard he was going to be the new king, what did David do right after this? He went back out in the field to watch the sheep. He went back out there and he was waiting. And if you're like David, if you're like me, you would have to ask the question, as David was probably asking during that time. He's saying, what am I doing in this field right now? Why am I out here? I'm the next king of Israel. Why am I out here dealing with these sheep and calling these sheep by name and everything? Why am I out here? I'm going to be sitting on the throne of Israel pretty soon, and I'm going to have people to do this kind of stuff. But right now, I'm out here watching these sheep, listening to these sheep, going blah, 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 what they do all the time, and just listening to them. And he's waiting. And he's waiting for God to give him that promise that he's going to sit on the throne. But during that waiting, He's being pursued by King Saul, who wants to kill him because he's jealous of him. The first king now wants to kill David, and he's running. So he's being abused during this time of waiting to be the next king of Israel. He's being abused. And during this time of waiting, David writes Psalm 27, give you and I some very helpful insight of what we're to do while we wait, is what he's telling us. So if you have your Bibles open to Psalm 27, what I want you to do is go all the way down to the last verse, verse 14, because it gives us a summary of this whole psalm, what David is talking about here. And he closes with these words in Psalm 27, verse 14. And he says this, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. During that passage, David gives us three imperatives here, and he says that I want to share with you this morning, three imperatives to waiting. And an imperative is kind of an exhortation. It's kind of expressing a command. Here's the things that you need to do while you're waiting is what he's saying. And the first thing he gives us is to be strong. Be strong is what he's telling us. Every weightlifter knows, will tell you, that in order to lift weights, you have to build up strength and muscle. Strength and muscle. It involves two things. First, you have to build up the muscle and strength by involves with first, you got to have a resistance. And that's where the weights come in, resistance. Second, you got to have rest. You got to rest. You just can't constantly be lifting weights, but you got to have resistance to weights, then you got to have rest. Then you lift the weights, and you got to have rest. That's what you got to do to lift the weights. The same thing is true what David is talking about here. David's not talking about physical strength, but he's talking about spiritual strength. He's just as you build up those physical muscles, he says, strengthen them with resistance and rest. He says, the way you build up your spiritual muscles is through resistance and rest. I remember many years ago, there was someone that came up to me, and they were telling me about all these things that were going into life, and none of them were really good. But I remember thinking, you know, in the long run, this is going to be really good for you. He was a young man. I said, this is going to be really good for you. I didn't share that with him because he wouldn't understand that at that time. But to have no resistance in your life is not good because it means your spiritual muscles never get strong. And we have to get our spiritual muscles strong. So David could not go out to battle while he was waiting. He couldn't go into battle because he was a shepherd boy and he had to watch the sheep. But all of his brothers go out to the battle and they're in this conflict down in the Valley of Elah right now. And so on one side, you know the stories, are the Philistines. And on the other side are the children of Israel. And they're about to go into battle. And they have this foul-mouthed Philistine, this tall man of a giant named Goliath, who is cursing God and saying to the Israelites, the children of Israel, send out your champion and come out to fight me, Goliath. And he says, whoever wins that battle wins the battle for all of us. And he was challenging them, send out your best man to come and fight me. And the children of Israel were intimidated. They would not go out. No one would go out and fight him. Well, here comes David on a mission to bring supplies to his brothers. Yes, you heard that right. The next king of Israel is a supply runner. That's all he was. He wasn't in the battle. He was a supply runner. And he comes there and he arrives on the scene. He's kind of all excited. Hey, guys, what's going on here? What's happening here on the scene? You know, he's down by the battlefield and everything. And they tell him, well, this guy wants to fight us. Nobody wants to go out and fight. And David is like, why won't someone go and fight? He says, we know the cause. This man is cursing God. We know that we're on the right side of things. God is on our side. Whoever goes out there, God is going to help us defeat them. Someone's got to go. Someone needs to go out there. See, David, he's already learned from life. He's already learned in his own life and build up those spiritual muscles that they become strong. Because the Bible tells us that David already defeated the lion and defeated the bear while he's watching those sheep. So his muscles were strong. And in the first three verses in Psalm 27 tells us about that. Let's read verse 1. David said in Psalm 27, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David said, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. And how do we get strong? How do we flex those spiritual muscles that we want to flex and we want to become so strong? We lean on the stronghold of God. That's what he's saying. You lean up on God. That's where you get it. As we move forward and we endure struggles, we're all going to have struggles. We're all going to have that resistance in our life. Every one of us are going to have those. If you aren't having those now, you will have those in the future at some time. As we move forward, We move forward with the knowledge that we can be strong even during the weakest of times in our life because we lean on the stronghold of God. And God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. No matter what we're going through, when we lean on God, we're the strongest we can be in our life because we're not leaning on our own strength, but I'm leaning on the strength of God. And that's what David was saying. Be strong. Let's read verse 2 and 3. He says, when evil men advanced against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. The faith muscles are growing in David's life. And he's saying the reason is verse 1. The challenge that he's having right now is verse 2 and 3. And we see that. And building up those spiritual muscles, those takes time. Nobody goes to a fitness center, to a fitness club, and they go to the trainer and they say, hey, I got this picture. And this is what I want to look like after my workout. I want to look just like this picture. When I leave here, this is what I want to be like. Nobody does that. But yet, that's what we do spiritually. We come and say, boy, this is the way I want to be. I want to be this really strong, spiritual man or woman. I want to have this by the end of this message, Pastor, or by the end of this Bible study, or by the end. And we want it immediately. We want it right now. I want to be spiritually strong right now. But being spiritually strong takes years of walking with God. It takes you and I reading the word of God and praying to God. It doesn't come overnight. It takes time spending. And as God gives the resistance, we get stronger and stronger. We flex those spiritual muscles and we get stronger. And he gives more resistance and bigger resistance. And we flex those spiritual muscles and we get stronger and stronger and stronger. That's how God does it. And we read in the storms that come that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he says storms will always come. And they will always come. And sometimes those storms will be big and sometimes will be inundated. He says, but we'll be able to handle them because the muscles are strong because we've leaned upon God. And we're able to endure anything that comes into our life, anything. Even if it's the loss of the one that we love the most, the one that's the closest to us in our life. You think, how can I get through that? It's through walking with God and our spiritual muscles become strong. Not saying it's easy. It's never easy. It's never easy in those cases. But we get through it because we leaned upon God and our spiritual muscles have become strong because we had resistance in our life and God has taught us. And our spiritual muscles get stronger and stronger. So no matter what comes in our life, no matter what we have to endure, we get through it. Not because of ourselves, because of God and our spiritual muscles are strong. So we need to be strong. And then he goes on the second part of verse 14. He says, in the NIV, he says, take heart. The English Standard Version, the ESV, says, let your heart take courage. And I really like that. So the second imperative to waiting is take courage. Take courage, he tells us. The heart is where it all begins, where it all starts. Everything begins in the heart. I'm not talking about this organ that pumps blood inside of our bodies. That's not what I'm talking about. The heart is who you are on the inside. It's the immaterial part of a person. It's your soul is what we're talking about. And that heart that we have, it gets discouraged so easily, doesn't it? And we could be up one moment and somebody says something to it or something happens in our life, and we get so discouraged. Really easy. I mean, the slightest thing can discourage us. And he's saying here, take heart or let your heart take courage. And he says, that may seem kind of passive, but what he's actually saying is something very active. What he's saying to you, in other words, trust in the Lord and take that courage from God is what he's saying. Take your courage from God. Get it from God. He says, let your heart be encouraged is what we're to do. Let your heart be encouraged. So we use this word discourage, and that word, that little prefix, dis means to pull away from. And you and I have all kinds of things in my life and your life that discourage us, don't we? We have people that discourage us many times in our life. And what they do, the courage that you and I have, they discourage us. And what they do, they pull that courage away from us. So no longer do we have that courage, but we are left discouraged, is what the Bible's talking about here. And we need encouragement. We need to be lifted up again. We need to have that courage given back to us. We need to be lifted up. And there are many places in Scripture where we find this, where we find this courage. In the Old Testament, it says, when you are disciplined by the Lord, it tells us, let your heart have courage when we're being disciplined by the Lord. We're going through a difficult time many times. We read in Acts 23 when Paul was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they became violent around Paul, and his life was in danger. The following night, Jesus comes to Paul, and he says this, Paul, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify about me in Rome. And you think about that. That's really encouragement. Jesus was telling Paul, he says, Paul, this is just act one, what happened in Jerusalem. You're going to have to face this same thing. And now when you go to Rome, you're going to face this again. That's what we act two in your life. But the words of Jesus to his disciples in John 16:33 says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. He says, I have overcome the world. And what he says, take heart, what he's saying, take courage or be encouraged. That's what he's telling you and I. Be encouraged because of God. And what we have to do, we have to believe in the sovereignty of God. That God is in complete control of everything, and you and I find our courage, or we're encouraged from the stronghold of God. That's where we find our courage to face anything that comes our way. Well, let's read verse 4 through 6. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high up on a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. What's David talking about here? Well, David's talking about when he goes to church. Well, you say, wait a minute. They didn't have church back in the Old Testament. You're right. They didn't have church. So what David is saying, he says, when I used to go to the temple, or when I went to God's dwelling place, in David's case, it was really the tent or the tabernacle. In verse 6, it says, at his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. So how did David find this encouragement in his life, and his heart would be lifted up? Where did he find that from? And he tells us, he says, I found it in worship. And we keep coming back to the same thing. It's worship. We come back to God. Where does he find courage? Where does he find encouragement? It's worship of God. He says it here. He says, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in the temple. He said, God, when I come before you and I seek your beauty, God, I seek your face. That's where I find my encouragement, when I'm worshiping you. We sang a song this morning. I wrote down some of the words of it. Oh, come to the altar. And listen to what it says here. It says, oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord over all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. That we come and just seek the beauty of his face. And that's what David was talking about. That you and I just come before him, we seek his beauty, we bow down before him. And he says, this is where I find my courage. This is where I find my encouragement. This is where I get away from all that discouragement. I focus on God and I find it here. He says that this is where I find my contentment. It's right here. There's a wonderful connection we find in Scripture between the church that we experience with the Old Testament worship and the tent that they experienced back then. In the Old Testament, there was this holy of holy place, and there was this holy place. But then there was this outer court. It was the outer court they called the court of the Gentiles. And this outer court is where people could come, the Gentiles could come, the proselytes could come, and unbelievers could come, and they could congregate there. Meanwhile, they were there through the barrier and around the barrier, they could hear the Jews singing and praying to God. And they would come to know that God is near, and that God is in this place because of what they heard. Well, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that we gather together and we worship and we share our gifts together. It says there might be people who are here that amongst us that don't know Jesus. There might be people that don't have a personal relationship with Jesus that are amongst us. And it says that as we're worshiping, they can come to know him by watching us. And they can come to understand and recognize that God is near, that God is real, and that God is in this place. And my question to you, have you ever thought about that? as you're worshiping, as you're gathering here? Have you thought about what you're worshiping can do to someone else's life? Because when we worship, what the Bible is telling you and I, we are seeking the beauty of his face. We are seeking him. So there's a vertical. But there's also a horizontal element to it that the Bible's telling us about our worship with God. It's not only vertical to God, but it's a horizontal. He says when we're worshiping God, there are people watching us that might be in our midst. They're looking at us and they're seeing of it. And they're coming in here and maybe they're searching. Maybe they're looking and they don't know what they're looking for, but they're looking and maybe their journey has just begun. And they don't know whom it's going to end with. And they have this emptiness inside and they're looking for something. They don't even know what it is. Sometimes they don't even know why they're here, but they're looking for something. And the Bible says that through our worship, through you and I worshiping, they can come to understand that God is real and that God is in this place. And my question for you, have you ever thought about that? What if that person sitting here today is looking at you and they're watching you and how you're responding and how you're worshiping and they're looking at your life and they're saying, man, am I seeing that excitement as they're singing the songs? Am I seeing the joy on their face as we're getting into the word of God and we're lifting up? Do I see that kind of celebrative heart that they have? Could they look at you and say that God is here and God is in this place? If they watched you worship this morning or any morning, could they see that joy and that excitement of Jesus on your heart and mind? That's what the Bible's talking about. That people might see your life and my life and see you and they might say, wow, God is near, God is here, and God is in this place. He's real. Because I see it in their life, that genuine, authentic worship. I see them as they gather together, that person or these people are really real in the worship. That's what he's talking about. And he says, as we gather together, he says, our worship itself can influence someone else's salvation. By you and I gathering together and we worshiping. And we need to examine our own life. When you worship, are you excited to be here? I mean, not just being in the building, but excited to be in this auditorium when the singing starts and Stefan starts leading us in worship. And you're here and you're ready to go. Man, I've prayed up, I've been reading. And I'm ready to celebrate and worship God. Because not only is God watching, and the Bible talks about the angels are watching, but there might be other people that are searching for God. And they're watching you and say, man, look at that person. I can tell this is real. Because look how it's affected their life. Look how they're worshiping. They're just not murmuring the song, but they're singing their hearts with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They really believe this. They really love the Lord. They really love this. That God is real and God is near and God is in this place is what they need to see in our life. We need to examine our own life and see if that's true. David says as he's worshiping, my heart is lifted up. But it's lifted up and encouraged, and I gain that courage when I worship God and I see the beauty of your face, God. I see that from you. He says, that's what I need. That's what I'm looking for. The third imperative to waiting he gives us is be strong, take courage. The next one is be ready. Be ready. Let's look at the last phrase. He closes with the last phrase the way he begins it. He says, wait for the Lord. And then he goes, and wait for the Lord. Now, waiting is not like sitting in a waiting room reading outdated magazines. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about waiting like this. Waiting here is different. It's like the huddle, as the players come out of the huddle of a football game, they come up to the line, and what do? They get down in the three-point stance, and they're there. And they're waiting. They don't move. They're waiting. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for that quarterback to come up and give them the signal, wonder to take off and go. And the quarterback comes up there and maybe he mentions a few, you know, numbers, 21, 36, 72. And then he gets up there, hut, hut. And on the third hut, they take off. Why do they take off? Because that was the signal. That was the play call. And they take off and they run and they're ready. As soon as they hear from the quarterback's mouth, they know the signal and they run and they take off. And I thought about that. How does that affect the church? How can we relate that to the church that we're to be ready? I think for you and I to be ready, God is saying for the church to be ready, you and I need to be ready at a moment's notice when God says, hut. God is saying, go, you need to go. That we need to be active to God's calling. He could call at any time that he wants us to do something. We don't wait and say, well, when God calls me, then I'll get ready. No, the Bible tells you and I that we're to be ready right now. We're to be ready. Ready for what God wants to do in our life. So how do we do that? How do we get ready? Not only do we have to get our lives ready, but spiritually, we have to be ready. We have to be in the Word of God. You got to be reading the Word of God. We got to flex those spiritual muscles and get ready by reading the Word of God. We got to be in prayer. If we're going to get close to God, it means we got to be talking to God. That's what prayer is. Conversation with God. I got to be in conversation with God continually and talking to Him and getting strong. It means I have to be here and worship, because that's part of it. That's the rest where I come and I get encouraged from God when I worship. It means I have to be serving. God wants me to be serving. He wants me to be active and all those kind of things. It means I'm doing all these things as I'm serving, as I'm waiting on God. It means I need to be ready. That's what God wants us to be, ready. Because when God calls us, a moment notice. You know, that football team, those players, use that same analogy. When they come up to that line, they come up there and they're ready. They're prepared. They've been training for this moment for a long time, getting their bodies physically in shape, understanding all the plays. They went through this play over and over and over and over, and they're ready. As soon as the quarterback makes that call, they're ready to go. And that's the way it is with you and I. You and I are to come up on that line and get in that three-point stance continually, ready for God to make the call, ready for God to say hut and say go. And we're to be looking for those opportunities for God at a moment's notice. Not only as individuals, but as a church, we're to be ready to go whatever God calls us to do. Because He says to look for opportunities. David was looking for any moment for God to say, take the throne, David, it's now your time. David was ready. God had already trained David through shepherding the sheep. He knew how to lead people. He knew how to lead sheep. He could lead the people. He'd already been in battle. God had prepared him in battle. And David had been in battle and all these kind of things. So David now was ready. And he's ready. All God had to do is say, David, go. It's your time. He was ready to jump into action. And God is looking for you and I not to wait to get ready, but we're to be ready right now, looking for the opportunities that God has before you now. Not God is going to call me and then I'm going to get ready. No, God, I'm ready. I'm serving. I'm growing. I'm reading. I'm praying. I'm doing all these things. And God, when you got something else for me or for the church, we're ready to go. So what I want to ask you, are you in the season of waiting? So many people are always waiting when you talk to them. I'm waiting for God to do this or waiting for that. What does that really mean? And I think I have to go back. I want to encourage you with this outline again, because I think David focus it right where it needs to be on waiting. And he gives us these three things. He tells us to get strong. Get strong by reading and praying and get really close to God at this time. And get strong and go through those trials and those tribulations and all those resistance that you're going to have in life. You're going to have those. You can't get away from those. But realize all that resistance that you're going through in life, it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. God wants you to flex those spiritual muscles and He wants you to become strong, because God has something great planned for your life. God wants you to do something important for Him. Not just to go through life, not just to make it through life. God says, I've got something really important for you to do for me. Second is take heart. Take heart. It says where He says, lift up your heart and get courage from God. Be encouraged by God. And that's the rest part. That's where we come and worship. That's the rest. Where I come and I'm encouraged by God. I get courage from God. And I'm ready for life. I'm ready. I get that from God. And that's where we get that. If you're discouraged today, courage has been pulled away. You need to come to God and He'll give you that courage back. That's where we get it from. Not from others, from God. And it's found in worship, where we fix our eyes upon Him and focus upon Him and realize no matter what I'm going through, God can handle it. I can trust Him with it. And He'll give us courage. Realize the sovereignty of God. He covers all things. And He's big enough to handle everything. Every one of our problems. And when you're waiting, the third thing, use this time to get ready. Be busy for God. Busy serving Him. Get involved and allow God to begin the process in your life. Don't wait back there, but get involved. Allow God to begin this process. And don't run from resistance. Don't run from the resistance when it comes, but stand firm in this and trust God, because it makes us strong, and it makes us strong for the future, what God has in store for us. Anytime resistance comes from it, let's not complain about it, but realize, well, God, you've allowed this to come into my life for some reason, and through this, I want to learn what you have for me. And what God always has for you and I, remember this, always remember this. Whatever comes in our life, God's will is always, always this, for you and I to come to Him. To run to Him. It's always to seek the beauty of His face. No matter what comes in our life, God's will is always that. That's first. So if you wonder, what is God's will for my life? To seek the beauty of His face. To worship Him. That is always. So whatever comes in our life, the resistance, whatever comes, God said, I brought that because you need to focus on me today. You need to fix your eyes upon me. You need to take courage right now. You need to be encouraged, and the only one that can do that is me. And we come and worship him. So always remember that. And always remember, as the resistance is coming, say, man, God, you should be doing this. God's got something great planned for me. God's going to do something in my life, and I better be ready. I better get in that three-point stance because he's about to make that call in my life. He's about to say hut. If God says hut in your life, are you ready to go? If God says hut in the church, are you ready to gather together and do what God calls us to do? That's what he wants. That's what he's saying here. That's what David says. I'm ready to go, God. I'm ready to go. Just say the word. I'm ready to take the throne. I'm ready to do whatever you got want for me to do. And that's what God wants for each and every one of our life. Are we ready to go? Are we ready to say, God, my heart is yours? To lift up our heart and say, take my heart. Take my life. It's yours. Do what you want. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you. And we thank you so much for your goodness, your greatness. And Lord, the word of God, how it just speaks so truthfully to us. Even when David lived, Lord, about 3,000 years ago, that even that word of God speaks so relevant to us today. And the things that he says, that even during that time, he was having trouble waiting on God. And today, Lord, we have such a hard time to wait on you many times. And through this, Lord, through this time, that we'll be strong. Not that we're strong, because you're strong. That we'd lean upon you during this time and trust you. And Lord, we might find our courage and our heart from you and trust in you by worshiping you. And Lord, during this time, you'd help us to get ready, continue to stay focused on you. That Lord, we not sit idly by, but Lord, we continue to read the word of God, praying, and we get involved and start serving inside of your local church, serving you, Lord, so you can continue to mold and shape us who do you want us to be. Lord, every one of us in our life, if we're honest, we're waiting for something. Every one of us are waiting because we know, Lord, as we wait, you've got something planned for us, not only now, but something in the future. We're waiting for whatever that is. But Lord, help us to be faithful while we're waiting today. Glorify yourself in our life. Lord, if we've messed up, if we haven't been waiting the right way, if we've been complaining the whole time of waiting, Lord, forgive us of our sin. And Lord, help us to stand back up and seek the beauty of your face. Be encouraged and continue walking with you. Lord, you love us and you promise to forgive us of all of our sins. I pray for that person here today may not know Jesus as their Savior. May be here and say, I hear what the pastor's saying, but I don't have that relationship with God. That they might come to understand that God loves them and wants to have a relationship with them. And all they have to do is put their faith and trust in the forgiveness of sins through Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. I pray for their soul right now, they might come to understand and trust Jesus as their Savior. Lord, we're here to worship you. We're here to offer ourselves to you while we're waiting, while we're living this life. May we see the beauty of your face. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.